Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person, contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. So Money is brought to you by CNET, the site that shows how to navigate change all around us. So Money, episode 1309, Eve Rotsky, author of Find Your Unicorn Space, Reclaim Your Creative Life in a Too Busy World.
You're listening to So Money with award-winning money guru Farnoosh Torabi. Each day, get a 30-minute dose of financial inspiration from the world's top business minds, authors, influencers, and from Farnoosh herself. Looking for ways to save on gas or double your double coupons? Sorry, you're in the wrong place. Seeking profound ways to live a richer, happier life? Welcome to So Money.
Vanity project, hobby, passion project, all of these terrible words that connote a nice to have was not understanding the science that living a creative life, a magical life, a life where you literally come alive, doesn't have to be every second of every day. That is not realistic. But times like this for me, when I get to speak to smart, amazing women that I have, you know, fangirl crushes on and say, I'm going to forget that this half an hour, this 45 minutes even happened. It'll go by in 1 second. That aliveness, that flow state, that's linked to our longevity and our mental health.
Welcome back to So Money, everybody. It's Farnoosh. I'm so glad that you've joined. Very, very excited to share the conversation I'm about to share with Eve Rotsky. She's a friend and friend of the show. And you may remember our conversation a while back when Eve released her first New York Times bestselling book called Fair Play. It was a game-changing approach to helping partners rebalance the domestic workload, and it sparked a national conversation, launched a movement, in fact, towards greater equality on the home front, a favorite by the Reese Witherspoon Book Club. Following that, Eve has now released Find Your Unicorn Space, a practical guide for reclaiming or discovering for the first time your talents, interests, skills, curiosities that are lying dormant in our too busy grind of everyday life. Eve shares more about the unicorn space. What does that mean actually? We both share our own individual unicorn spaces and how to rediscover your interests, cultivate creativity, now more than ever, why it's so important. Here's Eve Rotsky. Eve Rotsky, welcome back to So Money. I have been waiting for this. When I got your book and I heard you were available for an interview, I was like, yes, let's make it happen. And we are here. Thank you for joining.
Well, I appreciate you having me back because as I was saying to you earlier, I don't listen to many podcasts, but yours is a must listen to me because at the end of the day, everything I do is really related to women's economic security. And so thank you for having one of your unicorn spaces being sharing with the world because your perspective is very important.
Well, that just means the world to me, Eve. And you are such a champion for women and for us to become the greatest financial versions of ourselves as possible. Your first book is what I fell in love with, Fair Play, where you're urging women to rebalance their domestic responsibilities and reclaim time for themselves. I first saw you speak on stage at the JP Morgan Chase Women on the Move event, and we were all so captivated. Loved your story about this breakdown with blueberries that you had and We're not going to dive into that. You can go read the book and you can listen to our episode about that turning point in your life and the launch for Fair Play. And you have helped so many women do just that, really find that balance, bring their spouses more into the fold. And now you're encouraging us to find some playtime. The unicorn space, as you call it, your book is called Find Your Unicorn Space, Reclaim Your Creative Life in a Too Busy World. Assuming we have graduated from Fair Play, we can now do this. Tell us what you mean, Eve, by unicorn space.
Well, it's so interesting because creativity, wasn't a space that I thought would necessarily be the sequel for Fair Play. But what happened to my listeners were so many of them and the readers of the book, but people who were listening all over the world with these messages or reading them were basically saying to me, I wouldn't even know what to do if I reclaimed my time. So as you said, the premise of Fair Play is that as a society, we've decided to guard men's time as if it's finite like diamonds, and we treat and view and value women's time as if it's infinite like sand. And we know this, right? All you have to do is look at what happens when women enter a male profession. Salaries automatically go down. If you hear cultural messaging like breastfeeding is free, when it's really an 1800 hour a year job, we heard it when women would say to themselves and it got worse, 153% worse during the pandemic when women would say to themselves, well, I can find the time. My partner is better at focusing on one task at a time. And the time it takes me to tell him or they what to do, I should do it myself. I'm a better multitasker. My partner makes more money than me, so I should do all the domestic labor that ends up eating up all of my infinite time. These are all what we talked about in episode one. This is our sequel, but what we first talked about was that women become complicit in our own oppression because actually our time is our most valuable currency. And you've talked about that all over in your many themes and your podcast, but time being our most valuable currency or one of our most valuable currencies, but I would argue the most valuable currency in a capitalist patriarchy. And women since birth were taught to give it away for free. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this book is about what happens when you create that boundary to believe you have a permission to be unavailable from your roles as a partner, parent, and or professional.
When I think of unicorn, I think of like these billion-dollar companies, these outliers, but that's not what that I need to change that mindset, because what you mean here by unicorn, I think is like the magic. This is where the magic happens.
100%. And I'll tell you how I got to the name, because exactly. Well, first of all, I hated that companies that exploit people and have unrealistic valuations were claiming the term unicorn. I wanted to reclaim that term.
Yes.
I did not want it to be used in that fashion. But really, the way the term came up, this idea of unicorn space, was because when I started to ask, and now there were 750 unique interviews for this book, but there's thousands more anecdotal interviews that I will compound and add to it. And when I would ask people, after I'd asked all the Fair Play questions about, how did mustard get in your refrigerator? One of the questions I started to ask was, well, what makes you you and how do you share it with the world? And that question, people got very defensive over it. They got angry. They would say, well, being a mother. And I'd say, no, that's a role. What makes you you? Or they would say, their job. And I would say, no, that's a role. That's a worker. Or they would say, well, keeping my household together. A lot of men said that about their wives, that that's what made them them. I'm like, so basically you're saying your partner is them because they're your personal assistant. Like no one was understanding the question. And so I think it was because vanity project, hobby, mm-hmm. passion project, all of these terrible words that connote a nice to have was not understanding the science that living a creative life, a magical life, a life where you literally come alive Doesn't have to be every second of every day. That is not realistic. But times like this for me, when I get to speak to smart, amazing women that I have, you know, fangirl crushes on and say, I'm going to forget that this half an hour, this 45 minutes even happened. It'll go by in 1 second. That aliveness, that flow state, that's linked to our longevity and our mental health. And so the idea of a space, taking up space, it's already subversive. Women are told to be seen and not heard, to be quiet. We can't be loud and wrong. Definitely not. So taking up space is already subversive. But the idea of a unicorn space was that it was a magical space. But what I loved about it is it doesn't exist. Unicorns don't exist until we claim it, right? We have to actively claim it. And that is why that term resonated so much for me. And I started to ask people about unicorn space as opposed to hobby, passion project, other things that felt that they were pejorative over something that actually needs to be essential. Mm-hmm.
And Eve, just like Fair Play, this book is personal to you. So tell us, before we get into examples of how others can, you know, claim their unicorn space, what has been your unicorn space journey?
It's a great question, because for me, when I decided I wanted to write this book was actually when I was thinking of a commencement speech for Noosh. I wanted to write right after JP Morgan. I started to get requests to speak at commencements, which was amazing, women's colleges. And I started to write a commencement speech called To the 21-Year-Old Women, that you only have 10 years left to live. And it's actually really funny, I promise, but it was it was a really interesting premise to play with, this idea that we're told as young women that we could be it all, do it all, do anything. We hear songs that say girls run the world, but it's fundamentally a complete and total lie. Mm-hmm. And we start to discover that it's a lie around 31 when we enter, even if we're not mothers, but we enter the years where we start getting discriminated against because we're the mother, we're mothers. The dirty little secret is that 75% or more of the pay gap is actually a discrimination against mothers or women in the age that they will possibly become mothers, unless they scream somehow that that's not in their plan. And so I remember thinking, why was 31 so triggering for me? Why did I have 10 years left to live? And I realized that when Zach came into my arms at 31, and this is my story, you know, this is not other people's family structure story, but for me, understanding that 31 was the time when discrimination was starting in the messy middle, plus my own story, it was interesting to recognize that for me, it was when Zach was handed to me in that hospital room at 31, and the nurse said, "Hi, mom." And then my friend came in the hospital room, visited me, gave me a cute necklace that had mom on a charm. And I started to wear that. And then cut to 3 years later, when I have my blueberries breakdown, which you can hear in our first episode, I'm sitting around in a toddler transition program with my son, Zach, with the preschool teacher saying, "These are going to be your best friends in the whole world." And I look down at all of the other parents, and on my name tag, I'm thinking to myself, okay, these parents are going to be my best friends in the whole world. But my name tag said Zach's mom. And I remember thinking, these are going to be my best friends. They don't even know my fucking name. And that was an understanding that the reclaiming of our names, metaphorically, literally, taking up space, the permission to be unavailable, was something I knew that I needed to write about. And so I became very obsessed with understanding the journey mm-hmm. to really living in the full holistic part of you, which I call, as you know, unicorn space.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that I'm a podcast host and also a mind reader? Because I know that you want to grow your portfolio, to deal with the rising costs of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage. You want to attack pretty much anything standing in the way of you and your financial freedom, right? Well, here's one solution: more knowledge. This podcast helps, I hope. And you can use Yahoo Finance, where you can get access to the news, data, and tools that you need to help reach your definition of financial freedom. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. They're the number one finance destination, and I know because I worked there for many years, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, customizable charts, so much more. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. For the longest time, I dreaded buying bras. It was like shopping for jeans. Impossible. You want a bra that's sexy? You want a bra that's comfortable? You can't have both. Well, now you can, thanks to Third Love. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, the ick, the ugh, out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem or brablem. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school. Get smoothing, you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made with premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a AA cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with the code podcast15. The weather's getting warmer as I record. It's a nice 73 degrees on the East Coast. So finally, time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and, fingers crossed, hello to shorts and tees. And I need to update my wardrobe for the long haul. And, you know, I don't want to spend a fortune. So luckily, I found Quince. I'm honest. I've got a lineup of timeless pieces from Quince that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and tons more. Best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. I have t-shirts from Quince, pajamas from Quince. My very chic and fashionable sister-in-law, Hannah, her whole closet is Quince. And people often stop us and ask, where did you get this? Don't tell me the price. And then when I do, they're shopping on quince.com. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/somoney for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/somoney to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/somoney. How long after that did you actually tell everybody your name? Did you in that moment, you're like, I'm actually Eve. I went to Harvard.
Yes, I went to Harvard. My name is Eve. I'm an activist. I'm an author. I care about justice. But none of that was there for me because I didn't have the courage to use my voice. And so I think what was interesting about Fair Play and triggering, a lot of books that sort of give you productivity tips are not as triggering, but Fair Play is triggering because I could have just made Fair Play, you know, a card game that you use to sort of rebalance your house, because there's a card game that goes with the book. But I had to write about all of the things that prohibit us from actually just jumping into Fair Play, which is actually not rocket science. It's just based on organizational management principles of living in a place where your home is your most important organization. But it was so triggering, the same way Unicorn Space is so triggering, because there are three hurdles right now that kept coming up over and over again for people who understood and wanted to pursue a creative life. One was, as I said, the fact that society, their friends, their families, their partners didn't want to give them permission to be unavailable from their roles, as I said, as partners, parents, and professionals. Even if you were unavailable or took the time, massive amount of guilt and shame was raging amongst the people I interviewed. Oh my God, I sat down to learn my piano lessons and then my heart's pounding because I might as well go pick up Benny from his you know, daycare. And then also this hurdle, this permission to ask for what we need, whether it's from our boss, whether it's from our roommates, whether it's from our parents, from our friends, from our partners. So to me, before you can launch into what Unicorn Space is, and I'd love to do that because there is actually a secret formula mm-hmm. for creative thriving. I do think that pausing on what is your hurdle? You know, is it time? You know, I just can't, it's that. It's Eve, you're asking me to do something at the end, another thing at the end of my never ending to-do list. Is it that you know how to use your voice yet? Because like I did, or is it because you feel guilt and shame when you do it? Because society doesn't prioritize creative living. But no. Actually, as we said, it is not only essential, there's nothing optional about it.
Well, and in a technology-driven world where bots and algorithms are taking over a lot of jobs, the creative jobs are the ones that cannot be replicated. It's not just a nice to have, as you put this, it's practical and it's essential as we walk into the future. You said that for you, speaking up and claiming this was your hurdle. For those who are identifying with the time hurdle, how do we find the time? People often say, show me your schedule, I'll tell you your priorities. So do we make sure we kind of just start with the unicorn space and build everything around that and honor that time first?
Yeah, well, I think I was thinking my friend Robin Arzon was interviewed for the book. And she has this great quote that we need to make it matter in order to make it happen. So again, that's why first for me, it was the reclaiming of the name of what this thing is. That a unicorn space is, if you think that it's essential to your mental and physical health, then you'll believe that you prioritize it as much or more than a resolution to exercise. Now, the good news about the creative formula, and this is really what it was a combination, Furnish, of curiosity plus connection plus completion. Now, the beauty of that formula is that it actually doesn't really take that much time. If you look at your screen time app and you see how much time maybe you've spent on, you know, Instagram, LinkedIn, or whatever, it doesn't take that much time to actually be curious about something. And so, and my friend said, well, what do you mean? Like scrolling my friend's Venmo transactions? And I said, no, not that type of curiosity. But what this book tries to help people do is recognizing what this book helps people do is understand our motivations for how we make decisions. As somebody who works in organizational management, I do a 3-word audit of the organizations I work with. And I come in and I say, I don't need all these questionnaires and your former consultants had a 60-page document. I just need to know 3 words. Who makes decisions? So I'll ask you that. Who's making your decisions? Is it your boss? Is it your kids? Is it your partner? Who is making your decisions for you? Or is it you? Because I know that for me, when I make my own decisions, and I really can set that boundary to make decisions for me, I start to prioritize things that benefit my mental and physical health, my longevity, because I'm intentional about it. And so what I mean by this is, I'll give one quick example of this amazing woman, Kat. So she had a very full life. She works full-time at Sam's Club, had a toddler at the time. Her husband's an auto mechanic with very erratic hours. And one night she's reading to her son, and her husband walks in the room and says, you know, you narrate books. You're not just reading to our son. Like, you're narrating. Like, you should narrate books for fun or for a living. And he put this curiosity in her head. Who are those people who read books for a living, right? She listens to a lot of Audible books on her way to work. Who are those people? And could that be me? She just started getting curious about it. And her first step was, when she was at Sam's Club, one day there happened to be a microphone on clearance. And then the next full step was to research, is there websites where I can upload an audition? And then the next week she read Princess is Behaving Badly, one page of it, uploads it. The next week she gets a call saying she booked her first audition. The next week she's recording a book. And then she writes a tattoo on her arm that says, reading books is like breathing air. And her mother said, are you insane that you put a tattoo on your arm for something you've done once? And her point was, you know what? Well, that can never be taken away from me. Mm-hmm. That's the antidote to the rain. We can't drown in the rain. We need an umbrella. And so the idea of starting to get curious and moving small steps forward that they signal seriousness is how you start.
You say, this is not a hobby, as this example illustrates. This wasn't like a fun thing. It actually turned into quite an impressive branch off the trunk of her tree. Yes. The tree is her life, right? It's like a beautiful oak tree. What are some other examples? And what are you doing in your unicorn space, Eve? I'll tell you, and then I'll tell you mine.
I want to hear your, well, I'm hoping what I wanted to say to you, reflect back on you and yours, is that I will say this podcast, again, whether you make a dollar from it or $1 billion from it, the idea that you are curious about what people have to say, whoever you book, you connect with them, and then you take the difficult step of completing, right? That's the hard part a lot of times. The fact that, oh, that interview didn't go the way I wanted to, or, you know, this has been hard to edit. But the fact that you actually put it into the world is a unicorn space activity. And so I will say, continue to do that. For me, I'm really inspired by this woman named Renee Brinkerhoff that I interviewed, who at 56, after being a stay-at-home mom her whole life, felt she had a need for speed, as she says. And she started to drive race cars. She's now at 67, one of the top rally car racers in the world. She's in Antarctica as we speak, racing across Antarctica. So we don't all have to be that. But I will say that the need for speed, the need for movement, the opposite of being an object at rest, you know, the physics of being an object in motion stays in motion during a year of sedentary sitting on Zooms is feeling very resonant to me for new. So I started with dance, as I write about in the book. My cousin and I are doing all these new TikTok dances, and we're about to share them with the world and embarrass our kids. But the other unicorn space that I've been focused on in just the past couple of weeks is I really want to write a murder mystery.
I would pick that up, and then Reese Witherspoon will make it into a movie. Yes. I see it already. I'm manifesting.
What is yours? Tell me more about yours. Movement and murder. So I guess I've never said that out loud, but I guess if people ask me from now on, I'll say you helped me clarify it. My new unicorn space is movement and murder.
Well, I wish you had interviewed me for your book. I feel like maybe I could have been an anecdote in the book. A few years ago, after my second was born, I had had a couple of girlfriends take stand-up comedy class. And if you know me, there's a lot of laughter in my household. I am fascinated with stand-up comedians. I think it's one of the hardest things to do. It's such a study for me. And I thought, I'm going to do what my girlfriends did. You know, I'm going to take this class. It was at the Manhattan School of Comedy. It was Wednesday.
I didn't know this about you. I'm going to die that I don't have you in the book.
There's more. So I was the busiest, but I made time for it. It was Wednesday evening, starting at 7 o'clock. And when the first night, we were all in a circle, and I'm probably the oldest one in there. By a lot. And the teacher's like, so what brought you here? And everyone, you know, people are saying, well, I've always been interested in comedy. My friends tell me I'm funny. And then it gets to me and I go, well, I felt as though this would be a great opportunity to not change diapers for an hour, you know, or just not be mom for an hour. And yeah, I was joking, but that, I'll be honest, was an added benefit to being in this unicorn space. Long story short, I complete the class. We have a night where we perform in front of friends and family at Gotham Comedy, which was like a really big deal. They film it. It goes on YouTube. My, you know, like 12 people watch it. But one person in particular watched it, a literary agent, and she reached out. And she had been a friend through, you know, like a distant friend. she said, do you have more material like this? And I said, oh, sure. You know, you mean like written down or, I mean, it's all in my head. I was basically telling the jokes of my life. Like, you know, with stand-up comedy, it's like, just make fun of what you know, what triggers you. Don't come out of the gate trying to be, you know, Jerry Seinfeld. Just start with like the most triggering things in your life that usually leads to a laugh. So I was talking about growing up as a, you know, the kid with the unibrow, the Persian mom who denied me of all luxuries and freedoms, but it made me who I am. And she said, this is something I think you have to keep writing. And she stuck with me. She kept pushing me to write and write and write. And I got a book coming out next year, Eve, called A Healthy State of Panic.
No way!
How to Win at Life When the World's Out to Get You. It's about how to like leverage fear. Because I kind of had to, I'm like, just let the sort of these stories, I'm like, what's beneath all these stories? I realized it was about fear and how you said, you know, you have to not drown in the rain, but have an umbrella. And I wrote that down because I'm like, fear is like rain, mm-hmm. where we try to avoid it. Or we just let it take over, but you have to have a relationship with it. You have to either carry that umbrella or wear the raincoat, you know, or maybe sometimes stay indoors, but fear is not something to sort of just ignore. We're really good at being scared. Why not leverage our strengths, right? That's so I'm trying to combine like this humor with something that's really, I hope,
profound.
Hopefully people will profound. Connect with that, but I am living the unicorn space manifesto. I am living
it. You are. And I wonder, can I interview you for our podcast?
Because I love it.
I'm like tearing up and I'm very, very sad. I didn't know. But this is my point.
I mean, you have 1,000 anecdotes. I think you have done your research.
No, but this is my point and why I'm writing this down is because what was so interesting about, especially during the pandemic, people seeing peering inside people's homes, right? There was something very transcendent and disruptive about not pretending anymore. And unicorn space is actually a version of not pretending. And so I remember so many people would say to me, oh my God, I love her so much more because I know she's, you know, not just, you know, brilliant and disciplined, but she's fucking hilarious, right? There was people all throughout the book in my interviews that didn't get in that said things like, oh my God, Ed, you know, is, you know, my neighbor, he grows ugly vegetables. Like I thought he was an asshole, but he's sort of funny. Like who goes to competitions with their, you know, misshaped gourds? Or this one woman who said, you know, her boss had a vintage sewing machine behind her and she like sews clothes for dolls. You know, she's like, who is this person? And it does give, you know, in a time where we have no, you know, you can feel like we've lost our humanity in our fear, you know, where we go back to these, you know, the lizard brain states of fear. Everybody's at risk to you, getting you sick or stay away. I do believe that the way back to connection is what you're saying here. It's the liberating yourself from fear and embracing a unicorn space.
Mm. And you never know what's on the other side of it. That's the other lesson that I walked away. It's like, you're doing this for you. And that's so important. And that should be all that should be enough. And yet, you know, whether that's like writing a book or, as you know, like you put the book out in the world, you have these intentions, you meet those expectations, but then there's all this other stuff that could happen that is beyond your wildest dreams that you also deserve, but maybe you hadn't even thought of it, but that's exciting.
Well, I think that's the beauty of this process because it's almost the same as if you say, I wanted to write a life manifesto that combines my humor that I learned through stand-up comedy plus attacking fear, you'd be like, what the hell are you talking about, right? I think a lot of people, you know, when they see you and your book comes out, they think that somehow, you know, that's why I always hated The Secret, because mm-hmm. this idea of manifesting, like you don't, that manifesting is iterative. So you manifest the small step, the thing, right? And then it ends up building on each other. So to me, it's more of a building block than a manifestation because you know, the, as you said, you don't know where it's going to lead you. You did not set out to write the life tome of wisdom and humor, but you were able to get there because you invested in these small steps along the way. And I think that is what the beauty of unicorn space is. It doesn't have to feel overwhelming. Rene Brinkerhoff did not say, I'm going to race in 12 years in Antarctica. I love the idea of a big, hairy, audacious, authentic goal if you have one. But if you're somebody who is stuck and doesn't even know where to start, those big, hairy, audacious goals can feel like maybe they're only for Mark Zuckerberg or the very, you know, few rich men, you know, that you see in your Facebook feed. Start small, start curious. And I'd say same thing for our kids. I want us to retire saying to our kids, I just wish happiness for you. I just want you to be happy, and start saying, you know what? I just wish you a life of curiosity, connection with others, and some completions. So you don't live in unfulfilled dreams. That's what I say to my kids. That's what I wish for them.
And the other night I asked my daughter, what are all the things you want to be? I don't ask her what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, give me your list. And I love asking her right before bed because she's got a long list. She wants to be a teacher, an astronaut, a dancer. And I said, what's your favorite? And she said, I think teaching. And I thought that's really, really great. And a shout out to all the teachers out there that are just, we're not being nice enough to our teachers right now. It's a hard time.
And by the way, teaching can mean so many different things, right? I mean,
sure.
I'm teaching my son, Zach, had to do a Bollywood hip hop dance right now for a class, you know, in India. So I mean that he has to learn, you know, in his group. And I'm like, ooh, I'm a choreographer, so I can help you with this dance, right? Teaching, the beauty about understanding your values, your motivations, is that the way you manifest them, humor. One of Furnish's, you know, I'll say your values is humor. So that manifested itself in this beautiful, beautiful path, but it could have manifested itself in other ways.
Sure.
Right? I don't know where my dance is going to lead me. I have no idea where this murder mystery idea is going to lead me, except for that I'm curious.
Let's circle back. Let's circle back. Oh my God. I love watching you, Eve. I love watching you blossom and impact so many people. I look forward to being on your podcast one day when this book is out. And in the meantime, everybody, get yourself, get all the people you love in your life this book. Find your unicorn space. Reclaim your creative life in a too busy world. Eve Rotsky, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Eve for joining us. Her book, Find Your Unicorn Space, is available everywhere. As a reminder, if you have a question for me for our Friday episodes of Ask Farnoosh, you can text message me, 415-942-5002. Make sure you're signed up for the So Money newsletter for all the latest updates, insights, giveaways. I'll see you back here on Wednesday, and I hope your day is so money. Hosting the So Money podcast for almost 10 years, I've been learning a lot about how to best serve you outside the show. I've begun to offer pop-up workshops and a So Money members club. And with each new line of business, a lot goes on behind every transaction. Stripe helps simplify and ease payments with Tap to Pay on iPhone, which helps me grow revenue and reach through accepting more in-person contactless payments when I'm out in real life promoting my programs. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe give me the ability to scale quickly and stay flexible with quick setup and no additional hardware required. And it's not just ideal for me. From local pop-ups to global retailers, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe help businesses of all sizes accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. Whether your customers want to use their card, Apple Pay, or other digital wallet, now you can accept contactless payments right from an iPhone. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.